Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, live from Richmond, Virginia. Welcome to the newly expanded version of What Does the Word Say? A production of DMC Ministries. We teach you how to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We want to help you be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net. to take advantage of the resources we have available for you. Books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more are there just for you. Links to this and previous programs are one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Ever wonder what it means to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? Well, that and much, much more are available to you on our website. If we can be of service to you, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net. Or you can be call us at 804-909-7339. You can also watch us streaming live on Periscope. Download the app from the Apple Store or the Android Play Store. Follow us on Twitter at DMCCEI, and you'll get notifications when we're live on the air. Today we'll continue our series on the Book of John, and I'm excited about what God is getting ready to show us. He's going to be absolutely awesome for us today. If you'd like to be part of this show, just give us a call at 347-857-1322 or log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2 and you can listen or be and chat with us online. It is my obvious distinct to introduce my co-host, Pastor Godfrey Katsiri, from God's Kingdom at Hand Ministries in Chesterfield. Good morning, Pastor. How are you?
I'm doing good, brother. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm just absolutely fabulous, excited about what God's doing.
Same thing, brother. I'm just ready to get into the Word and see what the Holy Spirit has for us, brother.
How was church on Sunday?
Church on Sunday, you know, this time we had power on and off, so we decided to, leave the Sunday evening service, so I know we'll just be celebrating once again this coming Sunday, brother.
All right, give us all the information about where and when you're meeting.
Yes, sir. We are meeting on Hall Street. The address is 3076 Hall Street Road. We are meeting every Sunday from 3 to 5, and we get to celebrate and enjoy what the Lord is revealing to us in the Word, brother.
Amen. Well, why don't you do me a favor this morning and give us a prayer to get started?
Oh, yes, sir. Father, what such an exciting time that you are having us to share the Word, Father. We want to thank you, Lord God. The Scripture says, at the entrance of your Word, it brings light. Father, we want to thank you for the light that we are going to receive today. Father, we thank you that, again, your Word says that Jesus is the light of the world, and you send us to be light. You say, ye are the light of the world. Father, what brings that light is the Word. This morning, Father, we are excited, Lord God. We know that the Holy Spirit has something to remind us, Lord God. And we thank you for our listeners, Lord God, as this Word goes forth, Lord. We know there are different healings that is flowing, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory, Lord God, for your provision for such a wonderful time as this. Lord, Thank you so much for your word. We praise you. We adore you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen, brother. That was awesome. We certainly do appreciate it. Now, this week we're continuing still in John chapter 14. I think we hit a record last week. I think we got 5 verses done through the whole day. So when we go back and look at that, let me just give a little brief review here in John chapter 14. We started off with, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And so that was kind of the beginning of our conversation. And what we're saying there is that, you know, you don't need to be afraid. Fear is false evidence appearing real. It's not the truth. Anything that brings you trepidation and brings you fear, we know that comes from the devil, and it has nothing to do with God, because God has filled us full of faith and full of boldness through the Holy Spirit. We then went into an extrapolated conversation, if you will, on the mansions in heaven. And we kind of destroyed that myth that we're all going to be sitting on the dock of the bay watching time roll away as we dabble our feet in the anointing, drinking non-alcoholic margaritas. That is absolutely not going to be the truth. So I challenge you to go back and listen to last week's radio broadcast, and you will have a good time listening to us discuss that. This morning, we want to start off with verse 5. Actually, we only got through 4 verses. In verse 5, now let's go back to verse 4. He says, "And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And that was Jesus talking to the disciples. And then Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know?" What did I do with that? Am I in the right? Yeah, I'm in the right one. "How can we know the way?" Now, we had a good discussion on that, knowing that we know the way that Jesus went because we know the type of lifestyle that he led, and he is our example. And so we're gonna go through that. But these guys really just didn't have a clue. They didn't understand that they were actually with the Son of God for 3.5 years, and they never really fully comprehended exactly what he was trying to tell them. And so, of course, Thomas was the same one, doubting Thomas. He said, "Lord, I believe if I can see." And, of course, you know, we know what happened there. Actually, we'll get to that maybe a little bit later. But then we go to verse 6. And, folks, I'm telling you better fasten your seatbelt. Hold on to the rails, because we're getting ready to get rocking here, because this verse 6 is probably one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. And it is one of the, if you ever get into apologetics where you're standing up defending the cause of Christ, this verse here will cause you a great deal of grief.
Hallelujah, brother.
So here we go. We're going to go ahead and step into it. In verse 6, Jesus said to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Hallelujah. Now, that is a famous scripture. Everybody's heard that. Not necessarily everybody believes that, but this is what he's saying. He's saying, look, there's only one way to get to God, and that's coming through Jesus. Hallelujah. You want to expand on that a little bit?
Yes. Brother, I'm looking at the Amplified Version. It says, "I am the only way to God and the real truth and the real life. No one comes to the Father but through me." I'm looking at Amplified Bible. You know, where sometimes people say, well, there are so many, we can consider our city of Richmond. There are so many ways you can get to the city of Richmond. So is heaven. I mean, they're trying to get what is on the earth, try to explain the spiritual truth. Jesus is beating all that, like he stated it, that we better get our seatbelts fastened. Amplified, it's the only way. So they can talk about, well, now, would you think God, who is so merciful, can do away with the other people because, you know, they have a mosque and they pray every so often? And do you think God can be such an unjust God? We know he's a merciful God, so he will let them pray. Now, Amplified is saying he is the only way, the real truth. In other words, the rest is fake, if we are to put it that way. And if you
Now you started.
I never wanted to go there, but our listeners, this is amplified. It's real. So whatever you see, the real. So that means there might be a fake.
Well, and the Bible alludes to that. It says there's a way that seems right unto man, but its end leads to destruction.
Come on. Yes, sir. That's very true. So, our listeners, we better look into what the scriptures say. He's the only. That means so-and-so that you might look at, or you might look at Smith, or you might look at whoever makes any claim. It doesn't count in this very verse. Jesus said, only with the real truth, the real life.
In the Amplified version, it says, Jesus said, I am the road, also the truth, and the life. No one gets the Father apart from me. Glory be to God.
Mm.
So, you know, what happens here is a lot of people get very uncomfortable because, you know, of the doctrine of Jesus, where he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Your analogy was right on. I mean, you can get into Richmond from 95, from 64, from 288, from Hall Street, from Belt Boulevard,
right.
You know, from Main Street downtown to the 14th Street Bridge. I mean, there's a hundred different ways, you know, to get into the city. But what he's saying here is, you cannot get to God unless you go through Jesus.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you know, what is the problem with people having such a hard time accepting that? Why is that?
Mm-hmm. Brother, that's a very good question. And like we've looked at the previous, you know, John is such a wonderful book. Our listeners, we encourage you. If you look at John chapter 10, and verse 7, this is again Jesus. It says, then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm the door to the sheep. Now, Jesus here, he's not only is he saying, I am the only way, but then he says, I'm the door. So I wonder if he is the door and you say, I came through so and so, because I know we've been praying through him. You know, he also lived the holy life, and he wrote whatever book he wrote. So we've been following him. Now, how are you going to stand at the entrance? Because Jesus here is saying, I'm the door, or we can say he's the entrance. Now, that means no any other door that you can enter therein, because he is the door. He says he is the way, he is the truth, and he said, I am the door. So you cannot come in if you're locked out.
You still there, Pastor?
Yes, sir. I'm still here.
All right, yeah, if you're locked out of the door, then you got to have a key to get in, okay?
Exactly, yes.
And any other way that you try to get in will probably land you in jail.
But
now you'll become a burglar.
Uh-huh, that's right.
but he said, what he's saying here is that's not going to work.
Mm.
You can pry all day long, and you're still not going to get in. You can try all these different things,
but
why waste your time when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man gets to the Father except through me?
Mm-hmm.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
I like it where he says that I am, in that he's not saying I was or I will be. And it's very interesting, because if we go into the Old Testament, you look at the life of Moses, you remember when he came before the burning bush, and you know, he's having so many questions. Say, how will I tell them when I go back to Egypt to bring the children of Israel? You tell them, I am. And here we see the same expression. Jesus is saying, I am, not I will be or I was, but I am right now. I am the way, I am the door, and I am the real truth.
Well, you know, that is so refreshing. And so encouraged to us to know that you know, there, as our study of John has revealed, that he was there in the beginning. And so even at this juncture, whenever the beginning was, even at this juncture in time, he's still saying, I am. And so then the word says it's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So that should be encouraging for us to know that he was, but he still is. And if he still is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can get to the Father except through him, then it would be, we would have the fiduciary responsibility, if you will, fiduciary being a financial term, it would be wise for us to invest our time and resources in learning how to follow that path.
Because
otherwise, it clearly says, we're not going to get there unless we do that. Now the other doctrines that are out there in Hinduism and Buddhism and of course Buddhism, you know, you just get to your rightful state of bliss and everything is cool. In Hindu, you can believe in anything because it doesn't matter. We're going to come back again as many times as necessary until we get it right. But even in the world of Islam and the Muslim faith, the Quran doesn't say anything about this is the only way. It merely says that there is one way, but it doesn't say that this is the only way. So there's room there for exception. In fact, the Quran says that Christianity is tolerated by Muhammad. Well, if Islam was the way, the truth, and the life, then they certainly wouldn't tolerate Christianity.
Come on
now, brother. Come on.
Come on.
I know I'm stepping on somebody's toes right now, but I'm telling you, that's the word.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
That's the word.
And so when we have the audacity to stand up here on the internet that goes all around the world and say, look, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and you're not going to get to the Father through through Islam. You're not going to get there by reading and studying and understanding and knowing the Quran. You're not going to get there by praying five times a day. It makes no difference in this world what type of person you are. You know, your goodness and your acts and your philanthropic efforts and all of this kind of stuff are not going to make any difference at all in your ability to get to the kingdom of God, to get to God, because you tried to go around Jesus. You have to. This piece of confrontation, you have to deal with Jesus one way or the other. However you can choose, you know, because it's all about your choice. But whichever way you want to do it, you're not going to get around the fact that you have to come face to face with Jesus. You have to deal with this doctrine. You have to deal with this concept. You have to deal with these facts that have been disseminated and delivered throughout the years, and there's just too much evidence. The more that people try to prove the Bible wrong, the more they prove it right. Hallelujah. So, if this obstacle is standing in your way, then it behooves you to go ahead and make time, make an effort to at least understand and address this, and then you are going to have to make a decision. I got into a conversation with a guy on Facebook the other day, and he said, well, no, I went out and looked at your page, and your page had this big testimony about how God had blessed you financially. And he said, my weekend was spent in the children's hospital watching a kid die of cancer. If that's the kind of God that you serve, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Okay? And so my reply was, well, I understand completely, and I pray that you find the answer that you're looking for. But there was no need in carrying on any more conversation because, number one, I was not going to convince him. And number two, we were getting to the point where it could have led to an argument. And the Bible says, don't argue with the fool because it's hard to figure out who the fool is.
Right.
So I don't want to be the fool, you know. Mm-hmm. But as long as somebody wants to carry on a conversation and wants to debate the issues, then I'll stand in there toe-to-toe with them forever.
That's right.
But when it gets to that point where you're starting to argue, because this really is a very personal decision for everybody. Everybody has to make this decision. But
that's right.
The truth and the life, and you will not get to the Father unless you come through me. Hallelujah.
Exactly. Yeah. And brother, I wanted also to give our listeners the reference that we're talking about. It's in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 4. Because we've seen that in John chapter 14, verse 6, it says, I am the way. Now, that is Jesus saying, I am the way. Now, we again see that in chapter 3 of Exodus, verse 4, our listeners can listen, it says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. Now, let's talk about Moses. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Now, we come to verse 5. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where on thou standest is a holy ground. Verse 6. It says, moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, we see here, he's saying, I am. And we have also another reference where Jesus was saying in the Gospels that before Abraham was, I am. So you can't deny the truth. Now, of course, we could find those who are saying, well, I only looked into the Old Testament. Yeah, in the Old Testament, Jesus was, as you stated it, even in creation, he is the Word. The Word became flesh. So Jesus is right there declaring, I am. So there is no any other way. And I believe that we have settled that so well, brother, this morning.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
The next part of this is very interesting because he gets into revealing the Father. And he says in verse 7, he says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Mm-hmm. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And, of course, Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who sent me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now when we look at this, this is interesting. This is really kind of interesting. And he says, I get so confused, seven. I get excited.
You're looking at verse 7?
Verse 11, yeah. He says, the Father is not me, it's not by my own authority, but by the Father who dwells in me, does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Now, when you go back there, I want to read it in the Amplified Version, because I think it's, not the Amplified, but in the Message Bible, I think it's kind of cool here. He says, he says, no one gets to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him. You've even seen him. And Philip said, Master, show us the Father, then we'll be content. And in verse 9, he says, well, you've been with me all this time, Philip, and you still don't understand? To see me is to see the Father. So how can you ask, where is the Father? Don't you believe that if I am in the Father, that the Father is in me? These words that I speak to you aren't mere words. I don't just make them up on my own. The Father who resides in me crafts each word into a divine act. Hallelujah.
Oh,
hallelujah. I love that one.
Yeah.
That's absolutely awesome. And then he goes on, he says, believe me, I am in my Father, and my Father is in me. If you can't believe that, believe what you see, these works.
Hallelujah.
So, Thank you, Jesus. Dealing with unbelief is not something that is uncommon. Well, I'm sorry, was not uncommon back then, and it's certainly not uncommon today. There's a lot of people walking around who just don't believe this stuff. And it's,
right.
it's to their detriment. It's their issue. And again, if the word of God is true, which I tend to believe that it is, then they're the ones that are going to be responsible for whether they believe it or whether they don't believe it. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Amen. As you're reading that word right from chapter 7 up to 11, where it says, if you had really known me, you would also have known my Father. That's amplified. Then it says again, from now you know him and have seen him. And I was looking at the life of Paul. When you read Philippians chapter 3, I believe, and verse 11, where he was saying, I want to know him. Let me look up that verse, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 11. Now, let's come to verse 10. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death. I believe that should be the desire for every child of God. Now that we've established the truth in chapter 14, verse 6 of John, that he is the only way, the real truth, the real life. So, the cry and the desire in our hearts should be like Paul was saying, that I want to know him. Because when you look at verse 9 of Philippians, he says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And I know you've been talking about this, you know, quite often, that we need Christians who want to live according to the legalistic, of according to the Old Testament kind of approach to the truth. But Paul is very careful here. He says, I want to know him, you know, and the power of his resurrection, plus the fellowship of his suffering. And when you flip over and come to chapter 17, verse 3, now this is Jesus himself saying, he says, and this is life eternal. What is that life? That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now, these were Jesus' words. The eternal life is this, that they might know thee. So I'm looking at that word to know him. I think it has to be acquainted with him, deeply knowing him and intimately get to know him. I mean, this is the relationship that the Lord desires us to have with the Father.
So how do you do that though? I mean, this is probably one of the biggest $64,000 questions. That people want to propose is, how can I know Jesus? How can I know the Holy Spirit? How can I know God?
Yes, and indeed, that's a very good question. So to ask, and this is what I was also looking at. Before I answer that question, when you look at John chapter 5, verse 19, it says, and Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise. And my answer to this is that now we know that Jesus Christ is the Word. The Word was made flesh. The Word dwelt among us, as we started with John chapter 1. So how much time do we have as children of God, as Christians, in the Word? That is our number one priority of coming to know him. Because as we come to dig deeper into the Word, that will create such a fellowship that we'll know what has the Father said through the Son in the Word. And as we begin to speak that Word to us, because we've been looking at this for the entire time of our sharing with the word with our listeners, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Because as you get into this word, sometimes at different occasions, you may find there might be a scripture that will jump out in your spirit, and you begin to speak it. I believe when you speak it and things begin to happen, or you pray, things begin to happen, that creates a joy. And with that joy, you come to know that, yes, my Father cares. Because, you know, this morning I was looking at that, just that word or that title, Father. A father has to be somebody who is the source. A father has to be the one who sustains the family. And a father has to be, he's the one that responds to every need. So here our goal is to, once we come to know him, to acquaint ourselves. And the only way probably to know him, we can submit it this way: how much time you spend with someone. Because the only way I come to know of my wonderful friend on the other end of the line as we're on this broadcast is that I've spent time with him on the plane. I've spent time with Dwayne, you know, in the same house. We've ate the same food. I've had that acquaintance. And so it naturally just happens that when he's on the phone, I just know the voice that, yes. So I believe that's what would help us, brother. And that could be the answer that I can give.
Well, then is it possible for people to you know, if faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, is it their faith by hearing something other than the word of God?
Oh, yes. I'm glad that you brought it, because the previous verse looked at Jesus and said, I'm the real truth. So that means you can have false or something which is not unreal, untrue. Yes, brother, I agree.
Okay. Well, that's why it's important for us, as you said so eloquently, that we need to spend time fellowshipping in the Word, reading the Word, so that that's how we can become familiar with Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit. The good thing about it is that as you do that, as you're obedient to doing that, and I'm not talking about another set of rules that you have to follow. I'm not trying to get you under the law, because that's just foolishness. But it does take a concerted effort in order to do this and make it work the way it's supposed to work. And so you have to be committed to it, and you have to go for it. I like Nike where they said, just do it.
As simple as that, yes.
So in the Amplified version that we're talking about here in verse 8, it says, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and then we will be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you for so long a time, and you do not know me yet, Philip, nor recognize clearly who I am? Anyway, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not say on my own initiative or authority, but the Father abiding continually in me. Now, that is a very important scripture right there. That's a very important statement. We need to make sure that we underline that, highlight it, and circle it in our Bibles. If you have the Amplified version, that's John chapter 14, verse 10.
That's 10, yeah.
Verse 10, where he says, but the Father abiding continually in me does his works, his attesting miracles and acts of power. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe me because of the very works themselves which you have witnessed. So, you know, that's a very important thing there. The Father, through the Holy Spirit, abides in us. Because when we're saved, born again, and filled with the Spirit of God, hello, we get the Holy Spirit. We get God, we get Jesus, and we get the Holy Ghost, okay?
That's right.
And so through the Holy Spirit, now I'm not talking about, you know, being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's down the road. I'm not even concerned about that, okay, because that's a big discussion that people get into, that they teach it wrong, and it causes a great deal of conflict. But I'm talking about your spirit inside your body is reborn, okay? And now you have, I love that word right there, continually. okay? Abiding continually in me. So the Spirit is there. The Spirit is there making intercession for you. The Spirit is always lined up with Jesus, and Jesus is always lined up with God. The thing that we've got to do is get our head screwed on straight so that we can listen to the right voices. Oh, come on now. I am preaching good at this point. Okay?
Yes, sir.
And so we have to understand, we have to believe. Now, that's another word right there, is called believe. You know, if you don't believe this, then it really it's an exercise in futility for you to either listen to this show. You might as well throw all of your Bibles in the trash can because you really don't need them as decoration on your table in the living room with a little white dahlia in there that you haven't looked at for 40 years. You don't need that because the Word of God is of no consequence to you. There has to be consequence, okay? And that's what it is. That's what we're telling people. Look, if you choose not to read the Word and study the Word and become a committed Christian, then you are making a conscious decision to suffer the consequences that are a result of your actions. For every action, this is scientific, but again, it comes from God. For every action, there's an equal or greater reaction, okay? So if you ignore the Holy Spirit, if you ignore Jesus, if you ignore God, if you ignore the Word of God, if you ignore the fellowship with the saints, which the Bible says we're to forsake, we're not to forsake ourselves assembling together as the manner of some is. If you refuse to pray, if you refuse to read, then there is a consequence for that. The consequence can either be good or the consequence can be bad. So if you're obedient, okay, if you're obedient, the Word. If you're obedient, like you said, if you fellowship with people that are of like faith, then you develop those relationships, and there's a consequence of that. You know, one of the consequences of your and my relationship is I'm traveling all over the world now, and I never even thought I would. It never even crossed my mind. The other thing, a consequence of your and my relationship, is that we're sitting here doing this radio show that's broadcast all over the world. Nobody ever told me that I was going to do that. That was not something that I had thought of that was a necessity for me to do, but it came from a consequence of association with you and with the Word of God and being obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Oh, come on now.
Hallelujah. Yes.
I mean, good gracious. So this is exciting. So you can literally know God, you can know Jesus, and you know the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Excuse me for going off on a tangent here, but this Bible is so much more than just a reference book. It's so much more than just a textbook. It's so much more than just a history. Yes, it's a book of history, but it's His story. And that's where we have to understand the Bible is the testimony of God, the testimony, the evidence given by His witnesses that things, number one, that He is who He says He is, that He's done what He says He's done, and He's going to do what He says He's going to do. Now, folks, I'm telling you, if you look at that Bible, and I got a shelf full of Bibles here in the studio. If you want to come by and look at one of them, that's fine. But if you don't take it home and look at it and begin to read it and begin to study it and begin to dissect it, begin to meditate on the Word day and night, then there is a consequence for that, and the consequence is directly related to your decision. The decision is always up to you. It's not up to me. I'm not even trying to convince you. I don't care. I know what I'm doing. I know what I've got, and I know the truth, because it says right here, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. Well, I believe that, and because I believe that, there's a consequence, okay?
Hallelujah.
And the consequence is I have peace in my life. I have joy in my life that's unspeakable and full of glory. I have relationships with people that edify me and exhort me and encourage me, and even sometimes, like you do, correct me, okay? It is okay to have that. It's not about who's running for president. It's not about what's going on in Syria. It's not about what the Russians are doing over in Afghanistan and Iran. It's not even, bless their heart, about what the Jews are doing in Israel. It's about what is your relationship with God. And we've established that pretty boldly here today, that there's only one way to have one, and that's through the Word of God. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Right. Brother, I'm looking at Amplified, as you read Amplified, the verse 10, the last part of it where it says, abiding continually in me. Now, we talk about the Father abides continually in Jesus, does his works, he's attesting miracles and acts of power. And I come to look at chapter 15 of John and verse 4 where it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I'm using what Amplified put us so well, abiding continually in me. Jesus was saying, the Father continually abides in me. And I'm bringing this picture to us. I know we'll be getting to John 15, which is very interesting. But I want our listeners to look at the vine or whatever plant you have in your garden. Now, if the branch says, well, I've been with you, tree, for this long time. Now I'm going to be on my own, and it doesn't abide. The next thing that you'll know, even if that is not a fruit-bearing tree, but the leaves themselves will begin to dry out. And this is going to happen to a Christian or to a saint or to a child of God if you just say, well, I'm not going to continually abide in the Father, in Jesus, in the Word, in the Holy Ghost. This is where you begin to see the drying up. And I believe, if you may let me say it this way, brother, that as we read verse 6 where Jesus says, I'm the only way, if and only if the world will come to such a realization that what is missing is that we've cut ourselves off the tree. And as branches, we've said, well, we don't need you, Jesus. Like, I'm sorry to bring this, but somebody made this quote that God was saying, well, I want to manifest myself in schools. And another person says, well, you were rejected in the school because they don't want to pray. So why would you manifest yourself? And this is the result of seeing what is going on in the world, civil wars and fighting against each other and people doing all sorts of things. It's because they've cut themselves off the life supply. Because Jesus says, I'm the real life, just like a tree or a vine. As the branch would say, well, I'm not going to abide continuously. That's it. That very moment it's cut off, it's going to dry.
Well, you said a mouthful there, brother. And that word right there, I'm telling you, that is the word of the day. I thought verse 6 was the word of the day. But that is the word of the day. The Father abiding continually in me. And so there, in all of this word, from Genesis to Revelation, all 66 books and all the chapters therein, there is a necessity for reciprocity. Okay?
Hmm.
Now, reciprocity is reciprocal or returning or equal or equivalent. So if he's sitting there saying, abiding continually in me, but the Father abiding continually in me, then that means that I have the obligation to reside continually in the Father. Okay,
right.
It's almost like it's like Christmas. You know, you don't want to go to somebody's house for Christmas and get a gift and not have them brought one. Okay.
Oh.
And so what he's saying here is just look, and actually what he's saying, it's pretty bizarre. Regardless of what you do, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what you do, the Father abiding continually in me does his work, okay?
Mm-hmm.
God is standing by ready to continually abide in you if you will only just continually abide in him. Now, abide, if you look that word up, it's talking about residence. Okay, it's talking about a place to sleep, a place to eat, a place to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can do all of that in the Spirit of God. You can
eat
the Word. You can drink the Word. You can sleep in the presence of the Holy Spirit. I don't have a problem going to sleep at night because I sleep with the Holy Ghost. Oh, come
Praise Jesus, man. Hallelujah.
We've got to get this. We've got to understand that this is not a fly-by-night, get-rich-quick scheme. This is changing your entire lifestyle to where you desire. The desire of your heart is nothing more than to continually abide in the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Boy, oh boy.
I'm also, brother, as we are sharing, I was reminded of this word. Now, this is John the Beloved. When you look at the first letter of John chapter 5 and verse 17, look at the very last part where it says, as he is. Now, who is he talking about? Jesus. As he is, so are we in this world. So, like we started in John chapter 14, verse 1, some people are waiting for by and by, or I get there. But he wants you to begin living that life right now, because as he is,
this
is John the Beloved, as he is, so are we. And I'm wondering, now for the good mathematicians, when you have the equal signs, the one equals to one. So that means they are the same, aren't they?
What it means mathematically is that in an equation like that with an equal sign, both sides have to be equivalent.
Come on. And brother,
both
this is what you're
saying.
Both sides
of the equation have to be equivalent.
Yes. As he is, so are we in this world.
That goes back to last week when we talked about when can we live heaven on earth? We don't have to wait.
Brother, it all ties into the same thing, brother.
Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Woo! Jesus, I'm telling you, this is unbelievable. All right, now let's see. We're in verse, I don't know.
11.
I think it's verse 11. Okay, verse 11.
Yes, sir.
Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. You know, when you go to church and you see somebody lay hands on the sick and they instantaneously get recovered, I hope and I pray that the people who see that don't discount it, number one, and number two, that they understand that is the power of the Holy Spirit. You know,
That's right. You
lay hands on the sick and they do recover, when you do miracles, signs, and wonders, they're not for the believer. That's for the unbeliever, okay?
That's right.
I don't need to see any more miracles because I know what miracles are. Now, yeah, I like to see them, just like that girl over in Africa. Was it last year or the year before when she had that spine that kind of looked like a C? And when I laid hands on her, it straightened up. Yeah, I want to see that.
Right.
That's pretty cool. But I understand that that's not for me. That was for her and everybody else that was standing around her looking at it.
That's right.
So we got to understand that this is not about us. This is all about him. And when we see that, then we actually have the opportunity to participate in stuff like that. You know, it's all about bringing him the honor, the glory, and the praise. But we know that he's in us and that we're in him in order to be able to do that. Glory be to God.
Glory to God.
So if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, at least believe what you see.
Believe what you see. That's right.
Because isn't that what you're looking for anyway?
Exactly.
I mean,
that's very true.
Most people are like that. I want to see it to believe it. Well, you see it and you still don't believe it. So then how are you going to believe it unless you do see it? Oh, come on now. I don't want to go off on another tangent. We're running out of time as usual. 11 minutes left here on this show today. Glory be to God.
Wow.
All right, verse 12. I want to get down here at least through, whatever. I don't care. Verse 12 says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the work. Now, this is the key right here. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Okay?
Hallelujah.
And whatever you ask in his name or in my name,
that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Hallelujah.
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 Glory.
Now,
glory.
In the Amplified, you have the Amplified handy right there?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and read 12 and 13 in the Amplified.
12 and 13 in the Amplified is saying, I, and it says me, because of the very works themselves, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, anyone who believes in me as Savior will also do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than this in the extent and outreach, because I'm going to the Father, verse 13 says, and I will do whatsoever you ask in my name as my representative, this I will do, so that the Father may be glorified and celebrated in the Son. If you ask anything in my name...
Now, go ahead, I'm sorry.
If you ask anything in my name as my representative, I will do it.
See, that's pretty cool that we can actually be his representative.
And when you look at Mark, now this is after resurrection, Mark chapter 16 and verse 20, the word says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. I believe, brother, God is ready to manifest the works as even this broadcast is going forth, because we know that this is the word going forth, brother.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Just like last year in Africa, you know, when we were there.
Yeah.
And, we really didn't go there with the intent of doing a lot of signs and wonders and miracles, because we were more into equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. But right there on that last night, I know you'll never forget it. I know I won't either. I'm sitting there preaching, and all of a sudden I totally lost my mind.
That's right.
I completely lost track of where I was, what I was saying, and everything. And so I just started laughing. And then the Holy Spirit spoke and said, somebody needs what you've got.
That's right.
So that's what I said. I said, somebody needs this. And, man, this lady over on the other side over there started standing up, screaming and shouting, praying in tongues. And I'm just sitting there laughing. Because I didn't know what to do, man. I was totally befuddled, okay?
I know.
But anyway, and then I looked at my faithful brother, Godfrey Kasiri. I said, do you have any idea in this world what I was talking about? And, of course, you being the good soldier that you are, you told me what I was talking about, and it was like somebody turned on a light switch.
Right.
And then I was right back into preaching, and I didn't act like I hadn't even started. But, you know, and then that lady came up to me afterwards and said, man, I got set free.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, well, glory to God. That means I flew, 8,330-some miles for one person.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll do it tomorrow.
It's worth it, brother. It's worth it. And you see what the word can do. Because you are not preaching yourself, but you are preaching Christ. You are preaching the word.
Well, see, that's the whole thing. Signs and wonders follow the word. And, brother, we dumped a ton of word on them that week. They had a boatload full of word.
Right.
Amen.
Praise Jesus.
Hallelujah. All right, so let's look at that. Was it 13 or 12? 12.
Uh-huh.
Let's look at verse 12 in the Message Bible. I got that right here.
Yeah.
Let's see. Verse 12. They go 11 through 14. Okay. The person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things, because I am on my way to the Father and giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. Oh, my gosh. You can count on it. From now on, whatever you request among among the lines of who I am and what I am doing, I'll do it. That's how the Father will be seen for who he is in the Son. I mean it. Whatever you request in this way, I will do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's a heck of a promise.
Yes.
And that's Brother. Something that we need to really evaluate and take seriously.
Mm. And you know, that's why Amplified Bible says, as my representative. Can you imagine how an ambassador representing America would act differently or would say, well, now let's choose, like, we've been to Uganda. And the ambassador who is sent to Uganda would say, well, I'm not going to abide by the regulations and the rules of Washington. Now, that means you would never get any supply. And how come, as representative, we choose not to abide continually? And if we choose not to abide continually, brother, we are going to miss on to the work. Because when these works begin to manifest, when the signs and wonders begin to manifest, like you say, they are not for us, but they are for the unbelievers. That's when they will come to know their God is a real God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
That's like I've been talking with this. I actually had my first Skype conversation the other day with the senior pastor of this church that in Pakistan wants us to come over and preach the word of God. And I did some research and I looked up on their website the Islamic Republic of Pakistan. I said, now, can you imagine a large roadside redneck white boy and a black guy from Uganda going into the Islamic Republic and preaching that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
And the life, right. Hallelujah,
but
brother.
But when I was talking to him about setting up this conference, you know, I'm not sure exactly all the details yet. We're still working on that. In fact, he's gonna be here. I think it's in November, and so I'll give you a call and we'll sit down and see if we can. We may have to drive to North Carolina, but we'll figure that out. And, we'll meet with him and sit down and talk to him about what's going on. But when I talked to him, he said, "Well, yeah, we've got we'd like to get you about 300 people to talk to." And I'm sitting there going, really? 300 Christians in Pakistan? The Islamic Republic of Pakistan?
Come on. That must be Jesus.
So then we come in here today and we start talking about this being the representative of God. And I'm sitting there going, well, you know what? I guess that's what you want me to do. Then that's what I guess I better get ready to do.
Praise God, brother.
I mean, it's not about me. It's all about him. Hallelujah.
It's about him, brother. Yeah.
And so I'm excited about what God is doing. And I think that we're getting ready for some stuff that's going to be, just off the chain. Absolutely off the chain. Hallelujah.
Yes, brother.
All right, well, we've got about 2 minutes and a few seconds left. So let me do some commercials here. We want to thank you for joining us today as we really appreciate your participation. This show will be available a little bit later today at www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2. And we'll also have it on our website at www.dmcministries.net. Join us in our conversation on our blog at dmcministries.wordpress.com. And we look forward to your comments. If you would like to have me or Pastor Godfrey speak at your church or other organization for any other needs you have, then just please contact us at dmc@dmcministries.net or give us a call at 804-909-7339. Our next show will be next Tuesday, praise God, same time, 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. And again, we are still working on the possibility of coming up with another time for another show. But we'll let you know as that goes along. Until next time, be blessed and let the Spirit.